This is WFAE's Morning Edition. I'm Lisa Wharf. It's been 4 weeks since Governor Cooper vetoed the budget approved by the General Assembly, and there's no sign of legislative leaders or the governor coming to an agreement. Instead, House Speaker Tim Moore and Senate Leader Phil Berger have been trying to get conservative Democrats to join them in overriding the governor's veto. Today on WFAE's Morning Edition, we speak to two key figures in this political fight. We'll hear from Governor Cooper in the next hour. You can hear that interview at WFAE.org, too. First, we hear from House Speaker Tim Moore, who blames the impasse on Governor Cooper. You need 7 votes from Democrats to override the governor's veto in the House. And you've been saying for the last couple of weeks you're close on getting the votes. What's the holdup?
Well, the holdup is to get those final votes. But we are very close.
How close are you on getting the votes?
Well, I don't want to give the numbers, but we're close. And I'm in regular contact with Democratic members on this. And there are a lot of them who really want to vote with us on the override, but they're really concerned of retribution from the governor and from the party. I mean, their words, not mine.
And there were a number of Democratic members who voted for the budget initially, and also got several local projects in their district funded. Why offer those projects if they may not vote on an override vote?
Well, what I'll say is, in terms of the projects that we fund in the budget, we go through and look to see if those are good projects and good use of state taxpayer dollars. And if you look at where a lot of the grants and investment went in terms of some of the projects, it went to some of our rural areas in the state that really have seen some of the roughest times in recent years. And so we believe that we should look at ways to try to make sure that all of North Carolina grows and that all of North Carolina experiences the prosperity we do. And so we think those are great projects. And so those members, I would argue, are voting for the budget because they realize this is a budget that invests heavily in their district, and it's what's best for their constituents.
So you're still working on trying to get the override, but, I mean, you don't have the supermajority now. It's been some pushing for a couple weeks. Where's the compromise on your part?
So we have offered, and I think it's important to understand the budget process. Once the Senate and the House had resolved its differences, we sat down, Senator Berger and myself, on a number of occasions, reached out to the governor and said, okay, this is where we are on a budget. Where are you in terms of being able to sign a budget? Here are our numbers. Here are the figures. These are the funding priorities. These are the amount of revenue that we're projecting and so forth. And we could never get past with the governor the whole issue of him wanting to make Medicaid for All part of the budget. They do not have to be intertwined. They are totally separate things. You can do one without the other.
But you have had a bill introduced and actually get out of committee onto the House as far as Medicaid expansion.
That's correct.
How come there's been no votes on that at this point?
What I've told members, and I've told specifically Democratic members who are worried about Medicaid, is that when we vote on the override, we will then immediately vote on that bill. And I suspect that bill would pass as well. And that way, it's honoring the commitment that I've made that we will deal with the issue, but it is a separate bill from the budget.
But if it's been such a holdup, why not just merge those two and get the budget passed then?
Well, that's certainly what the governor would like for us to do, but that's not something that we're going to do because I believe they are two separate and distinct issues. And I will tell you that what the governor is talking about doing is not what we have proposed. We have proposed doing something basically for those folks who are working, who are trying to make it, who are doing all they can, but who are just coming up short affording health insurance. The governor basically is proposing a plan of Medicaid for All. It would be one of the largest expanses of any kind of program in the state's history, and that has to be paid for somehow. You would have to raise taxes to do those things.
But he's indicated that he might be willing to consider something like the bill that's come forward at this point. And if it sounds like it has bipartisan support, as you say, why not try that out?
And I'm glad you say that because that's exactly what we've done. We have moved that bill. It's there on the floor. All he needs to do, Of course, he can't sign the budget now. It's done. All we need to do is override the veto, and then I feel confident we're going to pass the Carolina Cares bill in the House, and then it'll go to the Senate. And, of course, I can't speak for the Senate, but it'll have its own process to go through there as well.
The governor has offered what he calls a compromise. Of course, as we were saying, expanding Medicaid is part of that. But besides that, what would you like to see the governor budge on in his budget proposal?
Well, for one, the governor spends $400 million more than he even originally proposed spending. So that's another nearly $500 million in spending that would have to be paid for somehow. But you know, we didn't create this crisis. We did what every legislature heretofore has done. We have passed a budget that funds the priorities of the state, that gives teachers a pay raise, that gives state employees a pay raise, that puts badly needed money into capital projects around this state to keep this state moving forward. It is the governor who has brought up one single issue and is holding the entire state budget hostage over one issue. When you talk about a compromise, that's not really a compromise. That's more like a surrender for the legislature to just adopt that position, because we've been upfront that those need to be two separate discussions.
And with a budget impasse, I mean, there's the governor saying, I won't do it without this, and the legislature saying, we won't do it with this.
You know, that's a fair summary, or at least we're saying that we're not going to do it as a part of it. It's not going to be a part of the budget. It will be two separate discussions. And there ought to be the ability on that issue to get folks together to get that resolved.
That's North Carolina House Speaker Tim Moore. Speaker Moore, thanks.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.